Blog Talk Radio. very far over many lands and seas. He was very shy, and there was so much sadness in his eyes. But there
charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see
the man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, yo, in my bones.
make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing
along.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring. Ring with the harmony, oh, let us sing. Let our rejoices rise high. South and Georgia.
Jim Lee's Underground Radio Network is now on the air. How does mic sound? How does mic sound? Right, we now on the air. Sound good? Okay, bet. And we're not going to go into the commercial, so our sponsors, hold on, I'm going to get you at the top of the hour. We're going to get our 90 minutes in. I did. People slow up and held the show back because I wanted to see if the Bulls was going to force game six, you know. But that boy Tom Thibodeau, man, I'm telling you. But anyway, enough said. I got a bunch of my homies in from Central State University, and we're going to talk about the hero of the hour, my man Charles Ramsey. Now, there's been a lot of, opinions of Charles Ramsey, you know, and I am trying to show that a book has more pages if you just open it up and take a look inside of it. Now, I was fortunate to go to school for the disclosure with Charles Ramsey, and I'm going to bring some of my closest friends on that also attended the university. Basically, they were his road dogs. They rolled tighter than I did. You know, he was right above me. I think he was flying, stuff like that. Being from Cleveland. And most of you Cleveland people know what I mean by y'all think y'all fly and all like that. But anyway, I ain't going to do that. I got my man from the Barber Zone. Must bring him in. Chavez, matter of fact, before I bring him in, Ebony, can you do get the Barber Zone
commercial
for bringing Chavez in? Yeah, hit that up, Ebony.
Welcome to Barber Zone, E.A.C.
Chavez.
Who?
Charles. I got a couple kids need cut. I need to tighten up myself.
Oh, we got you. Come on in, have a seat, man. Hey, Charles.
What up, fam?
Cuz out here got a few kids you need cut.
Oh, yeah, two of them?
Yeah. Yo, Chuck.
What up?
You know the motto?
Come get your hair right.
First, I get him into the barbershop. Sit him down and drape him up at the barbershop. Get him faded, tapered up at the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
Cause we all get it in at the barbershop. You can get a fresh cut up at the barbershop. We'll cut it, now be back to the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
It's just another day at the barbershop. I clean my barber chair, time to get it in with Chop. Turn my clippers on, clients rush the parking lot. Just the South Side, number one barbershop. On the regular, we cut them so fresh. DJ Khaled with the clippers, we the best. I'm taking walk-ins, tell me who's next. We take cash, even debit, no checks. I see your cuts grown, welcome to Barber Zone. We go hard or go home, just store us in your phone. And now we doing numbers like the pickfold. They ask them where you get that cut, that is sick, bro. First I get him into the barbershop. Sit him down and drape him up at the barbershop. Get a fader tapered up at the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
Cause we all get it in at the barbershop. You can get a fresh cut up at the barbershop. We'll cut it, now be back to the barbershop.
Clients coming in, got my pockets looking real big.
Up early in the morning, cutting through midday. Kids want designs in their head, just ask for Kool-Aid. I tell them Vominos, I cut them Rapido. Make sure you pick them out if you got some naps though. You can get a cut, bruh, if you got that get it green. We'll fade you hella fresh, real nice and clean. 8 to 8, there's always someone on the scene. Barber Zone, we get it in by any means. Barbershop hotspot, cash in hand, get my guap. What you?
Yeah, yeah, my man. Javez Holman, that's the theme song, Barber Zone. I got my man Javez in. I got you holding on the blue room, Cleo. I'm about to bring you in a second. What's up, Javez? What's going on, my man?
What's up, Jimmy Lee, man? You put out the old song, man. Yeah, this is man Javez right here, Barber Zone. Shout out to Jimmy Lee for having this show, man. Part of the Blog Talk family. Yo, I'm the host of In the Barber Zone. We get it in on Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but you know, the shop saved me 37.19, but we got a new location. We upgraded. So now we at 3839 South High Street. So the show will be back on in 2 weeks for my new location. But, you know, we on here tonight with Jimmy Lee and the Underground Radio talking about, you know, my man Chuck Ramsey. So, you know, I'm on here. We're going to see who else we get on here. See, we get Clock and all them on here too, man. So,
yeah, I got Cleon on it. Yeah, I got Cleon on here, and matter of fact, let me bring Clops in right now. And yo, Clops, you there, Cyclops? What's going on?
What's going on, Jimmy Lee? What's up, man?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Not much.
Well, you know, I just wanted to let the world know the kind of guy Chuck. We know it's Chuck, not Charles Ramsey was. You know. Because, you know, you take a look at an individual, you think, you like, man, look at this guy. You know, what's wrong with this man? Is he, you know, like he has no life or whatsoever. People was quick to condemn him and criticize him by saying, you know, they always find the dumbest nigga to get on the mic. They always find the most ignorant person. I mean, put the baby down, Cleon. They always find the most ignorant person in the world to grab the mic. And I was telling my mama, like, when I first saw the picture, I'm like, Ebony. This dude looks like somebody from Cleveland that we know, straight up. You know what I'm saying, man? I mean, man, shave him up.
Hey, Jimmy,
I'm like,
is
it
Ram? I'm
like, is it Ram?
I'm like,
who is this guy right up standing up here? I'm like, well, nah. You know, because all my people in Cleveland, you know, it's not David Gray. It's not Ram. But it had that Cleveland look, you know, that dark skin Cleveland look, the nose, the brows, you know what I'm saying? Like, who is this guy? Right, who is this guy? And then you post it on my Emmy. That's him. That's the dude. I'm going through my photo ops trying to. I was gonna upload, but you know I don't like putting people out there without their permission. But I'm like, man, this is Chuck Ramsey because you know I thought his real name. It's funny how you think somebody's real name is Chuck for real and not Charles. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody's name is Phil for real and not Williams. You know, people think my last name is Lee. I mean, it is B's like that sometimes. But I'm saying when you put the posters up there, it kind of took me back to my point that this guy is not the dumb fool that people think they see on TV, you know. And so what I was trying to do was get some of the people that hung out with him most, you know, back in his college days, before, you know, he's faded out. You know, he's still a marauder. Might not be a Satrina, but he's a marauder. And I wanted everybody to see what type of individual he was, you know, and how was it hanging out with him back at Central State University, you know, Chavez or Cleon, any one of y'all?
Hey, first thing, man, when I seen it, I was just like, you know, I'm like, man, I know that dude. But you know how we are. We black, like, we know everybody. You know, you see somebody,
right,
everybody.
Right.
But then, you know, I'm looking like, man, all right, never mind, forget it, because, you know, we know him as Chuck. Okay, big ups to the man, you know, saving the ladies and all of that. So, but then, when Cleon hit me, this dude blew me up. I'm sorry. I can't call you Cleon, man. Your name is Cyclops, dude. If we talk about
right.
Thing, so if I could have called me, like, early in the morning, I'm like, what this dude want? Hey, I didn't even answer the first time. He called me again. And he was like, man, that's Charles from Central State. He's like, that's Chuck. I'm like, huh? And the first thing I think about is when we went to that. Is when we went to the mall.
Right.
When I had the band, y'all jumped in the band, and we went to the mall, man. And it was, you know, it was so hilarious. And the first thing I said to Cleon was like, "Yo, I got pictures of that dude." So I went back, you know, dug in the archives, and there he is. Lo and behold, Silly Chuck with the Gumby. And if y'all remember,
right, Gumby, and with the Louis Vuitton.
And this is a shout out, you know, AG put it on the site that Milky used to talk about that dude's Gumby. Milky talked about that dude's Gumby so bad. Him and Little Flame, little black Kevin, little dark skinned Kevin from Cleveland ran with him.
Right,
them two
right.
dudes, man, they let them dudes have it. Cause, hey.
Big time.
But you couldn't tell nothing about that Gumby. You couldn't tell nothing about that Gumby, though. You couldn't tell nothing. He was silly as funny. That's why when I saw him on TV giving the interview, everybody said he's trying to get a sweet brown moment. I said, dude is just fucking with the media. He having one of the moments like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, no, this dude is fucking with everybody. But, you know.
Yeah, because he's silly. Now when you see the interview with that dude calling Anderson Cooper bro, now you know why he's that way, because he was silly like that off the rip. Just, you know, stupid Charles. And then him and Flay get together, oh, man, it was crazy. And then that whole situation in the van was when we went to the mall, and that was on refund check day. So y'all know how that went.
Right. And he thought he was so fresh and so fly and all of that. But listen, you know, go on there, Chavez. You hung out with him, nigga Mo.
Hey, and y'all see it in the picture. Y'all remember Chuck with the fake Louis Vuitton purse?
when men wore purses back then, right? You had your little change bag.
He was one of the first merch wearers.
Right.
So,
right, you know, go in there and talk on that Cleon. Call him on the line. He must hung up. Keep talking, Vance. I'll get another line with Cleon. Keep going, go on.
Come on, man. Only Cyclops will hang up on the talk show. That's crazy. But yeah,
all right,
man,
Cleon, hang up. Go on there.
Yeah. But that, I mean, we got to give big ups to that dude, because, you know, no matter what he looked like, no matter what he was doing, he stepped up in the time of need when he needed to step up. You know, no matter
right.
where you're from, no matter what school you went to, he stepped up and did what he was supposed to do in the time of need. So that's the big thing we got to applaud him for, because he could have been, you know, going to finish his Big Mac or whatever. But
right,
he stepped in where he needed to step in.
Yeah, but it's good to see he still got his hair. Most people lose their hair. He has a gum, but he still got hair. Most people on his age are bald right now. You know, I still got my hair. So a lot of guys in that age are bald-headed now. You know what I'm saying? What he said, you know, crackhead, nothing. Crackheads lose hair like that. You know what I'm saying? Drug addicts don't have that much of hair. You know what I'm saying? If you live that long and, you know, abuse that much, like, he a drug addict. No, that man got a full man of hair. You know, he ain't got the manes or nothing. You know, he ain't the chef. He's a chef. He can see the case.
And the man pulled. And the man straight pulled
bring
out.
Bring Cleon in, Ebony. Bring Cleon in.
He pulled his chest up out right there in front of everybody right now. He didn't have to go print it off on the computer.
Not only that.
I'm just looking crazy.
Hey, besides the cussing, the man do talk with sense. He was talking with sense. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You could tell that at one point before he ran into his bad luck, like he probably did, you know,
that
the man was about something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, I mean, you know, he talked with some intellect. So, you know, he's okay. I mean, he's okay, you know. I think what he need to do right now is probably surround himself around a bunch of better people. But the people that he have around him right now is messing him up. And that's the reason why I think they pulling out a lot of this dirt on him, because his entourage, as he call it, he called him
entourage going his crew, his posse, you know what I'm saying?
He called it something else.
His goons. That's right.
His goon.
Yeah, his goon squad.
You know,
his goon.
Yeah, his goon squad.
He don't need goons right now. He needs some lawyers to capitalize on the situation.
Exactly. He done everything what he was supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's a good man, good-hearted person when he shot up there and say, yo, y'all could go ahead and keep the money. Give the money to the girl. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Come on,
right,
man.
Right.
You know, how many people would do that? He was all
right.
About himself, man. He wouldn't have done none of that. But like he was saying, he knew something was going on when you got a white girl run to a black man arms. Something got to be going on, you know. But
Go ahead, Carl.
I'm telling you the truth, man. You know, when he came in, he came in and hung out with us. You know what I'm saying? Everything was straight. You know what I'm saying? I mean, back then you try to make a little statement or a name for yourself. So, you know, that's what he did. And everybody, or, us, Alco, Jimmy,
thank you.
Chavez, all of us,
we accepted
whoever it was. You know what I'm saying? We didn't frown on motherfuckers back then. You know what I'm saying? But, he was Chuck, you know. You know, Cash from Cleveland, man, I love him. I ain't going to lie. I love him. I love the polo style they got. You know what I'm saying? I'm into that. But, what'd you say?
Too bad we couldn't get those big ass in a polo, though.
That's all I... Hey, man, that's all I wear now. Polo down.
I mean,
from the drawers to the socks to the hats, everything.
Hey, we ain't talking about right now. We talking about back then, fat boy.
Back then I was a little... I was big for my age.
Well, no. Big for his age is understating. We was in Cleveland one time for the Bill Cosby Classic. Cleon like had this polka dot. That's what Kwame and polka dot out. This polka dot outfit, one size fit all, man. Like he was raw. Like he wasn't wearing so much, right? And we was missing the train to go down to the stadium. Why Cleon, big at the time, big ass, get behind a Ford Bronco, get changed, come out looking like, oh my God. Let me stop. I don't want to be
Bro,
let me just keep it on. Remember
Eric B. Rakim, you, me, and G. on stage, man. Shit, dog. You know how it was, man. I was 400.
Okay, listen.
And I wound up getting up to 400 some pounds, man. That's what I'm saying. You never know. You know, me back then, I was big as I don't know what. I lost the weight. You know what I'm saying? Some people have luck. Some people just don't. It's all about the right decision that you make. And unfortunately, it seemed like...
No, Cleon, you're right. It is about the decisions you make because, you know, Just look at a lot of our friends right now. A lot of people, you know, we got, you know, that are not around with us right now. A lot of people are suffering from bad health and stuff like that. You know, it's a conscious decision that we make in lives, you know, in the now that offsets us in the future. You know, because let's look at Chuck. You know, like, you know, when he left Super State, you know what I'm saying? And you wonder what happened to people when they leave and stuff like that. Now, here's a guy. Here's a marauder. Now, evidently, he continues his education because he's a chef now. You know what I'm saying? So it's not as if I stopped and went on. He started his education. He got a little bump, got two little lives, got tired, humiliation. I think what it leads to that fight, he didn't get the fight no time, that was it for him. But I don't know. You know, he got tired. I'm not saying the guy, you know, left because of that like that, because I just want everybody to know that the gentleman.
I mean, the decisions that we all make, like you said, can come back and haunt you. You know, it's been times. You know, I look back when I was playing football, and if I wouldn't have went to Central State and did what I did with all the fighting and, you know, listening to the coaches and stuff, no telling where I'd be at right now. You know what I'm saying? So, this is what God had in store for me. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like the tragedy that happened last year with my ex-wife, huh?
Right.
But we got to remember, a lot of these things we talking about that he did, the things that we're going to be talking about that he did, was when we were in the age from 18 to 22. Who back then didn't make bad decisions or do things that weren't right? But you got to grow above them. You got to, you know, we all became adults. We all became accountable. So what have you done since then? And, you know, even then,
it could be a bunch of everything. You know, you never know what might have happened in that man's life after he left school and went back to Cleveland, if he left, you know, went somewhere else or whatever it may be. You know, it only takes one incident that could change your life forever. You know what I'm saying? This man probably, you know, started getting on drugs. I don't think he's on drugs, you know. So, I mean, you never know. I can't say he is. I don't know. But you can't look at a man by his hair. And his teeth. And to be honest with you, his parents had money. His parents had money growing up.
Yeah, money.
You know what I'm saying?
He had a family.
And guess what?
He was rich.
And guess what? And I'm telling you the truth. Back then, he had a tooth that was chipped. He had a chipped tooth back then. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's true. That unfortunately look like that tooth, you know, is gone.
No,
man.
But here's the thing. He might just be suffering from what a lot of Americans are suffering from right now. A lot of people don't have health care. A lot of people don't have dental insurance. A lot of people don't have things
this,
like
man.
That. So that
hey,
man
hey,
might
I'm
be
a prime example. I'm a prime example right now. I work for the United States government right now.
And you got a back home?
I do not, my health insurance for me, because I am considered a non-career employee. My insurance for me and my kids cost me over $500 and some every 2 weeks.
We ain't Republicans. That's the new affordable health care plan. See, a couple of years ago you were straight.
Hold on, Jimmy. I can't say that
Hold that thought. I got to take one quick break. You too, Vezo. Let me take a quick break right now, Emmy. I know you're tripping on me, but before I take a break. Let me give me a Charles Ramsey moment, Ebony.
Here, I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I meet my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts trying to get out of her house. So I go on the porch.
Okay.
I go on the porch, and she says, "Help me get out. I've been in here a long time." So, you know, I figured it was a domestic violence dispute. So I opened the door, and we can't get in that way because how the door is, it's so much that a body can't fit through, only your hand. So we kicked the bottom. And she comes out with the little girl, and she says, call 911. My name is Amanda Berry.
Now, did you know who that was when she said that?
When she told me, it didn't register until I got to call the 911. And I'm like, I'm calling the 911 for Amanda Berry? I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean? And she got on the phone, and she said, yes, this is me. And the detective, Cook, right here, Detective Gregory Cook says, Charles, do you know who you rescued? I said,
now, and when did you see Gina?
About five.
We're good.
So about 5 minutes after the police got here, see, the girl Amanda told the police, I ain't just the only one. It's some more girls up in that house. So they went up there, you know, 30, 40 deep, and when they came out, was just astonishing because I thought they were going to come up with nothing. I figured, whoever she was, and like I say, my neighbor, you got some big testicles to pull this off, bro, because we see this dude every day. I mean, every day.
How long have you lived here?
I've been here a year.
Okay.
You see where I'm coming from?
Right.
I barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah. And you had no indication that there was anything
going
on?
Bro, not a clue that girl was in that house or anybody else was in there against their will, because how he is, he just comes out to his backyard, plays with the dogs, tinker with his cars and motorcycles, goes back in the house. So he's somebody that you look and you look away because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's nothing exciting about him. Well, until the day.
what was the reaction on the girls' faces? I can't imagine to see the sunlight, to be
Bro,
around people.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway.
Charles,
giveaway.
Charles, thank you very much.
Dead giveaway.
Thank you very much for your time. And
either she homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she run to a black man.
Charles, thank you for being there, man. Charles Ramsey, neighbor, heard the screaming, took action, went and did what he needed to do. The rest is unfolding before us here on CMR. I'm going to send it back to you.
We a little bit better now. Tougher than leather now. Out cold ink, baby, all in together now. Chi-Town, Naptown, Philly, the D, Akron, Cleveland, the R-O-C, Brooklyn, Saginaw, C-O, and Flint. It ain't where you're from, it's where you went. And I went to where the yard was the hardest. C-S-U, the mighty Marauders. A few new...
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Risin, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Risin offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Risin. Visit us online at phoenixrisin.com.
When were you last on an amazing vacation? I'm Tracy Lewis, leisure travel specialist with Pogo World Travel, and I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go it alone when planning the vacation of a lifetime. So the next time you're looking for expert advice on that perfect vacation, you've got Pogo World Travel every step of the way. Visit our website at gowithpogo.com today and find out why they say, go with Pogo World Travel and discover your dream of vacation come true.
Do you hear that sound? Well, that's the sound of back pain. Are you tired of nagging and persistent back pain? Whether you're suffering from a chronic condition or a recent injury, don't fret. Chiropractic has proven to be a natural and holistic alternative to pain medications and surgical procedures. Visit Dr. Todd Tucker at our Water Tower location on Chicago's Magnificent Mile for a free consultation and exam. Call 888-535-2381 to get started with your personalized treatment plan. That's 888-535-2381. Call now.
Clock is advanced in the building. You see, if you listen to a little break I did at Ramsey, he said Chuck was like this. He's like, if that man had anybody in that place against his will, it was shocking to me. Now, even that,
right.
That was not alluding to anybody's guilt because he was not throwing the man under the bus.
Yeah,
you know, he was
right.
Reporting
hey,
what he
was. Hey, Jimmy Lee,
yeah.
He sounded like
yeah.
You. That sounded like you talking.
After that, she listened. Like, what? See, because what you heard was, what white America heard was, what white America heard, somebody got feedback. Somebody just walked away from the computer. We get feedback. Somebody turn their tank down, what have you. But no, what white America heard was like an Al Jolson. Like, ooh, ain't no crazy white woman going to be going no black man arms and she horn or insane. So that was a soundbite that most of them was alluding to. But let's look at it on a Marauder tip. You know you're just straight up joking. You know what I'm saying? You what you heard was a man giving a pot shot out. He giving out pot shots and cracking. You heard somebody cracking and just making a mockery of the situation right there. You know, but the deal was he was tripping and not doing this tripping. Like, you caught him on a bad day. You caught the man with a white T-shirt early in the morning. We lost your Chavez, Ebony.
He's gone.
Good back on there. You caught him early in the morning with a white T-shirt on. You know it's early in the morning. Who knows? I'm not going to shit on my man. He might have had a blunt and recognized something's going on, or he might have had a beer, a brew. Remember the early morning, realized something was happening. It was like you said, Cleon, you never know where God places you at, because at that time, God made him decide to go over there and look. 9 times out of 10, people will look the other way if they hear any noise going on in somebody's house. You know, people are like, that's not my business. I'm not getting involved in it. I'm not messing with that. You know, and that just shows you the zealousness of his, of him, you know. But, tell me about your time with Chuck Klops. Tell me about your time with my man.
I mean, he was cool, like I said, you know what I'm saying? Like anybody else, any 18, 19-year-old back then, you know what I'm saying? He was trying to feel himself. You know, I think at the time, he wanted to try to fit in, you know what I'm saying? So he was looking for some people to hang out with, and you know how we are, out cold. We always just accept people, and that's it. I mean, he was cool, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't a person that seemed like, you know, he got into it with anybody, You know what I'm saying? We ain't, he ain't had no arguments or anything, but he was cool. He
was right.
Straight.
Right. And he was smart. You
and
know,
he
and
was
he was smart.
That's exactly. And he was smart.
And he was
smart. He was intelligent. I mean, even with the interviews that I've seen on television, besides him cursing and everything,
right.
You know, he was straight. You know?
And I said, his people, yeah, his people's well off. Probably still not well off. You know, he was quick witty. He was very witty. He was a very quick witted individual. Of what I mean, he was sharp with his comebacks. You know, his cracks or Jones or Dozen or Buses or whatever y'all say when you did, when you're talking to someone and basically just belittling them or discrediting them or trying to humiliate them. His versions were more wittier and more sharper than the average person from Cleveland. I think the only person that was probably on his wit was probably Crump. You know, Crump was probably catch him off. Well, you know how you crack on somebody and you,
oh, you
crack
Crump?
On them. Yeah, uh-huh. Crump was probably the only person from Cleveland that wouldn't take it personal or to the point that you're trying to humiliate me or embarrass me because I'm smarter
right.
than you and I know where I'm at. I know where I'm coming from, so fuck you. You know,
right.
but it is good to see him as a hero. It's good to see him as a hero.
Oh, yeah. You know, I couldn't, you know, when I first seen it, man, I was looking at him when I first saw it, and I was like, hold up, I know that cat. And then when I went on Facebook a few days ago, and Gracie had said, you know, she had talked about how somebody deleted her off her Facebook. And then she had mentioned she would like to congratulate Charles Ramsey of CSU. What's the name? For a hero. And when she said that, I instantly said, you know what? That is Chuck, I said to myself. And then Flint had, Frank had said something, and I instantly remember 88, our sophomore year, and where we took that picture, actually, because I had the same picture that you, me, him, Tony, and Flay took, right in front of, between Williamson and Hunter. That's where that picture was at. And I tried to look for it, and I posted it. I said I was going to, once I find it, I was going to post it. And when I came home from work, Chavez had already posted it.
Yeah. But I'm glad it got posted so everybody can know this guy. You know, I ain't going to say that since your state makes sense.
Yeah, you know, people, I mean, I was at work, man. I was telling people, yeah, I know him. He went to college with me. People were like, he went to college. Yeah, the man went to college. What is so hard to think? You know, all bums are not, bad breaks or whatever.
See, Cleon, that goes to show you what you're displaying and what a lot of people display and what I call is that black segregation. Like, because my man had a white T-shirt on and he was cracking, the educated elite would look down upon that individual as someone who was not one of them. Was signifying because they some people forget what signifying sounds like and what signifying looks like because they're so high and mighty. You know,
right.
Let's go back. You from New York. I'm from Chicago. Let's go to Ohio for a second. Let's go to Central State. Now, Central State, you had a class in the Central State. You had the people, parents, were well-to-do, thinking that there was all of that, looking down upon the people who was not well-to-do, like, oh, look, he wearing the same clothes every day. Oh, well, look at this and that, look at that.
I mean, that was me my freshman year.
No, what I'm saying is, but there was, you know, in all societies, see, black folks don't recognize us being elitist and not only elitist as putting down our own and segregating our own because a lot of black schools are supposed to jump on him not saying, is it education? Oh, why y'all fronting on him? For y'all find the dumbest one or this and that. Because of that, because, you know, it's what you see. And sometimes you really can't judge a book by its cover. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, like a lot of people. Let me give you an example. I had Mike on my show, Blue. I had Blue on my show. Now, here go Blue. I got Blue. Now, here he is. Number one managers in the game today, right? Number one manager in the game today, you know?
Right.
Virginia State University. I bet you know, he ain't saying Mike never stunted for fun, like I'm all this and all that. He was in school, and he still cares for that personality. But you have people that probably was like all high and mighty, you know, the Jack and Jill Society. I call them Jack and Jill Society kids, you know, parents who love to do that. That, I guess, well, like a lot of people was first-generation college goers, a lot of people. Like my children right now, I ain't going to say they're not first college goers because their parents went to college, and their parents' parents went to college. And their parents' parents went to college. A lot of people went there as first-generation people going to college. And a lot of people look down upon them as like, you know, all these dudes can't fit in, what have you. Now, going back to my man Chuck, you know, he blended in as someone who people didn't have nothing. Who people was not well off. He could fit in with the John Does and the Jane Does. And that's why when you cracked on him, the cracks didn't bother him. That's why when you rode on him, he rides and ride on. That's why when he cracked back at you, it was as if, like, dude, you don't know where I'm coming from and stuff like that.
Right.
But I want today's show to be about, and we just lost Tone. I had Tony Norwood on, called him. Just dropped, hey, Tony, call right back. He just call back Tone. I want today's show to talk about who he is and what he was, you know, a little bit about him so people can know that he's not the ignorant person that they try to portray to be.
Far from that. Far from that.
Right. That he is, that he is someone who is highly educated and motivated. And so like that. I think a lot of Chavez to the Barber Zone again. What time it comes in now? Jimmy, you know, our audience, you know, if he's going to be on 10 o'clock Eastern, that's 9 o'clock Central a lot of time. So we go off, if you got the 2-hour package, you can switch over and, you know, jam with my man. Or what we'll do, everybody, we'll probably do a crossover simulcast before we fade out and see what the Barber Zone is doing on there. So check back in. Hey, Tone, we dropped you too, and I lost you. We lost Frank Roper. Frank Roper trying to look like Carlos Boozer. But anyway, with his new cut. But anyway, yeah, I think I lost his number like that. We dropped the calls when I played the little version of Charles Ramsey. And you know, we got a long little prelude interlude. But no, you were talking about the health care. What were you saying about the health, how health care strangling you now, man? What were you saying about that now?
What I was saying was, what a lot of companies is doing is, you know, they straddle in the fence. Like, doing a contract with us, you know what I'm saying, they propose that, you know, they'll pay a certain portion towards the non-career employees' benefits as far as health care, but yet, you know, I've been working for the government for 4 years now, 4.5 years, and that's without benefits. Ever since I lost, got laid off from my job in Pontiac, actually Noble, you know, I've been without benefits, you know. And unfortunately, it's like I make too much to get medical for my kids through the state. You know, just for them alone, I just need, and it's too expensive for me to get health insurance that my employee is offering, you know, unfortunately.
Right.
And what they're trying to do is they say they'll offer us a portion of it, but we're going to have to wait a year to get that because they just changed us over into a new title. But yet, why, if we grandfather back for our time served, you know, for when we first started, why can't we get that help now? And the only reason why we're not is because next year, when the Obamacare kicks in, companies is forced to do that. You get what I'm saying? So they utilize
right.
it. They're getting the money, they stacking the money, and they saving it and getting the interest off it. You know, I consider myself a middle class, but yet the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and the middle class get fucked. You know, because right now, I don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm thank God that my kids is healthy. You know what I'm saying? They haven't got sick or anything, because going to the hospital is going to kick my butt. And unfortunately, you know, I've been healthy also. So thank God for that. But when it comes to next year, and that's only just for me. They're going to help me out, not me
right.
and my kids. So I still have to find health care for my kids.
But,
you know,
but see, so how you feel about the Affordable Health Care Act? How is the Affordable Health Care Act help? How is Obamacare helping you?
You know what it is, it's supposed to be, I really don't know too much of it.
Nobody knows, Cleon. That's the problem, Klops. Nobody knows.
But
Let me tell you this, Cleon. Here's a short conversion. Now, dig it. What's full time now? Full time might not be 40 hours no more. Because if they pay 40 hours, they give you health care. Full time now might be 32 hours or 27 hours now. Or 28 hours now. Because people are now, employers going to start hiring part-time workers instead of hiring full-time workers. I can hire two part-time workers. It's like hiring one full-time worker, and they ain't got to pay the medical insurance because they can get the Affordable Health Care Act and get the government plan. You know? They can do that now.
Companies are still saving, though, Jimmy. Regardless how you're looking at it, they still saving, too. They not only are they saving, they're getting a tax break. So it's not only just, you know, saying
they're saving. But what are you getting? What are you getting? You're getting higher premiums. You're paying more money into the system.
I mean, we're paying right now from the time that, let me tell you this, the same benefit, I'm telling you an example. The same benefits that I need right now that I had back in 2007. The same health care, same package that I had, I was paying $112 a month compared to now. They want to charge me close to $1,200 a month. Come on, man. That's $1,100 different. That's crazy. It's getting out of hand. We need something to control it. I don't know what it is, but the only thing I know, health care, we paying more, but yet we getting less. We still
right.
now, even when you look at a lot of companies right now, they're forcing you to pay 70-30 or 60-40. That's crazy. Then you got to have a $5,000 deductible or $10,000 deductible just to get – it's crazy, dog, for them to pay a certain amount of money. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense.
I don't know what it is.
I know we need to change. That's all I know. It needs to change. I mean, it helped in Canada. It helped in Australia and in the Netherlands. So why can't it help here? You know what I'm saying? I think people is not up for change, but we have to.
Look, it was okay before they ticked with it. It was okay before they messed with it. It wasn't wrong. Back in the day, you can go to the emergency room. Now they expect you to have insurance now because everybody is insured, and it's against the law for you not to have insurance. So you got to have insurance now. So somewhere the insurance companies are getting paid now because everybody has to have insurance, just like everybody
But yet it's a control, though, Jimmy. They just
right.
can't sit up here and knock up the prices like they have been doing.
But that's what they're going to do.
You go to the emergency room, everybody now, instead of getting one bill, you getting 3 to 4 different bills. That's crazy. That's crazy. When it years ago, it wasn't like that. I mean, healthcare is nothing. We got to realize healthcare ain't nothing but a business, Jimmy.
True that.
Just like the oil company is out here making all this money off the oil and, you know, increasing the prices and stuff whenever they want to. Oil could be right now, we could be paying back to $2 to $1.75 a gallon. We can
but no solar, natural gas, or fracking. But, you know, sometimes the liberal Democrats always scream environmental problems. We don't want to have environmental problems. There's too many regulations. Too many regulations.
Let me tell you this with that cracking. Right now, Youngstown and the surrounding areas of Mahoney County right now are having problems with cracking. You know why?
Why?
You know why, Jim? Because right now, when they was down here, they were testing and they was doing certain parts of cracking. We had earthquakes. Come on, man. What is that? We had earthquakes. And this, just in the surrounding areas, just right here. Come on, man.
But listen, you have earthquakes. Listen, draining oil from the ground also caused, you want to be technical about it, a geological shift because you're causing all type of. Let's go over the tsunamis. All these oil rigs out there, you know, drilling. You can say that's causing all these tsunamis. But what's fracking doing? Fracking ain't doing nothing but taking rocks and getting the natural oils and minerals out those rocks that's been in from fossil fuels that's been in for a minute. You're not drilling into the earth, into the oil. It's tapped. We have natural resources. We ain't gotta go outside the country. We really ain't gotta. Really, we find it too tough. And we can do everything right here and save money. We ain't going to have no Alaska pipeline. We ain't going to have no Canadian pipeline. You know what I'm saying? We can just do all that, and you can easily have jobs. Right. You're saving the coal mines. I'm just saying, Klopp, listen, in the economy, real talk right now where there's no jobs, fracking can provide jobs. Even growing a marijuana can provide jobs. I'm just saying, just by the hemp industry alone, by rope, paper, clothing, oil, soap, all the products that you can make from hemp, that's an industry alone that can put people to work because you have factory jobs, which are employing people off assembly line type of things by getting people back to work. It's type of things you got to start looking at how you can get people back to work right about now. And people tripping on fracking. Yeah, fuck fracking. But now ain't nobody got no job. Let me give you an example, Klaus. Now, over the Third Ward, well, I'm trying to get my sister to run for alderman. This is a lady named Pat Dow. She's the alderman over there. Now, when we was running the Third Ward, my mother was trying to get Walmart over there. This for Walmart was a big deal. A bunch of Negroes got together and screaming out, nah, living wage. This is when all money is really good, you know, when Bush in office, everybody had money. Nah, living wage, we don't want no Walmart, they better pay people $10 an hour, yada, yada. We're cutting every spot Walmart's going to go at. So Walmart pulled itself out, went outside Chicago, like right across the street from Chicago, opened up. Now, charged everybody the same amount of money they're going to charge everybody in Chicago, but they had a job application line that was like, than in 2 miles long because people need work. Now, fast forward to 2006. Fast forward to 2013 now. About to put a Walmart on 47th Street. Not war, but down right in the black, white war, like in the Hyde Park area, which is good, but there's a lot of jobs there. But what I'm saying is it's taking a lot of jobs out of the black community because there's people be saying, no, we don't need this job here or no, we don't need this job there. Right now, in the way the economy is growing and all the jobs are overseas, and it's difficult by them removing all the science and technology out of schools and stuff like that. It's difficult to find the next Steve Jobs, difficult to find the next technician because all those programs are being cut from schools. We're looking at like, man, we ain't got no more creative people. You know, we ain't got no more factory jobs. We ain't got no more steel jobs. Damn, it's like this. The automakers got a bailout in Detroit, but yet Detroit got a financial manager because they ain't got no money. What the hell? What the fuck? I'm just saying. You know, where's the money going on? Where's the jobs at? So the jobs make the world go around?
One, when they talking about Detroit, it is really not Detroit City because a lot of the factory is not even in Detroit. So when they talk about Detroit with the Detroit bailout, they basically they talk about Michigan per se. But yet Detroit City, it's been so corrupt, no more than Washington, D.C. has, no more than Chicago have or New York have back in the day. All these, you know, cities have back in the day, you know, they're trying to weave them out. And unfortunately, Detroit just, the economy is not like it used to be, regardless how you look at it. You know, they sit up here and say this and that. It was just not the same. Every cent. The Bush administration. You can sit up here and say whatever I say, the Bush administration.
No. Well, listen, it ain't been the same. Why? Because everybody broke. Everybody broke. See, people fail to realize when George Bush is in office, God rest his heart, everybody got those stimulus checks in their mail. Think about it. How many, when Bush is in office, how many refund checks did you get, Cleon? How many checks did you get in the mail when Bush is in office? Think about it. I mean, you got money. Did you get money? Did you make, did he make sure taxpayers got money? You paid taxes, did you get some money back? Outside your refund check?
I think I got two times.
Outside your tax refund.
Yeah, $200 one year, I think $300 the next year.
No difference, but you had extra money that you didn't count on, and what you do with that money, Cleon, you spent it, didn't you? Or pay the bill off, right? Right?
Yeah.
Right. See, because once you got money in your hand, you will spend money because that's how the economy works. You see, the economy works if people got money, they go buy something from the store. If they go buy something from the store, that man got to hire somebody. If that man got to hire somebody, that man gets somebody a job. If that man gets somebody a job, that nigga with a job going to go to the store and buy something else. And that nigga with that job going to go to the store and buy something else, and that man got to get, I mean, then it goes down the line. That's how jobs are created, man. I mean, it's simple. It's ABC. I mean, black folks need to realize ABC is like stick with your own, create your own, and roll your own. But anytime... Like you say fracking. You can talk about fracking. You say fracking leads to earthquakes.
Here you go right here, Jimmy. Well, a prime example. Why were we in a war?
Which war?
Why was we in a war?
Which war? The war in Mali? The war in Mali that Obama got? Or the one in Libya, the one Obama got? Or the one in Ethiopia that Obama got?
The one Bush side.
I'm just saying, okay, but listen, what about the wars that we ain't talking about? I'm just telling you about this. Hey, Cleon, we got people being killed in Africa by a black president. Are you mad about that?
What war are you talking about?
The war in Mogadishu. We're in Mogadishu right now. Matter of fact, Libya. Hey, Cleon, Libya, listen.
Jimmy, stop putting it on a black man. Stop putting it on President Obama when that Libya been going on for years.
But listen, I'm going to say this.
It went from...
Ronald Reagan couldn't kill Muammar Gaddafi. George H. Bush couldn't kill Muammar Gaddafi. Bill Clinton couldn't kill Muammar Gaddafi. George W. couldn't kill Muammar Gaddafi. How about this? Bill Clinton went to Mogadishu, Black Hawk down. Everybody's tripping. Why? Because y'all over there killing Africans. Get out of there, Bill Clinton. Get out of there. Ah, now you got these Ethiopians dragging this man down the street. Like, man, look at them skinny Ethiopians. Should be in the first place. Everybody, like, get out of what have you. Now, here we go again. Same country. Right back in Mogadishu. Doing the same goddamn thing. We done killed so many people in Africa with drones that you can shake a stick at. You know? The point I'm saying is, that in these times, now I'm not tripping on Obama. Now I voted for him twice, Klaus. Don't get it twisted now. I'm being real with you. In these times, where are the black people that were screaming, back to Africa, stop colonizing Africa, leave Africa alone? Now, Libya's in turmoil whether you like Muammar Gaddafi or not. You know, them weapons that Libya got, they're over in Syria. Syria, another country in Africa. That's in turmoil. Let's go to Egypt, another country in turmoil. That's in Africa. Let's break it down. Since we got Obama in office, there's been so much going on in Africa.
This hasn't been since Obama.
No. Listen, no, our hands, we try to keep our hands out of Africa. We let the French do it. We let other countries do it. We keep our hands out of it because of Black Hawk Down. Go watch the movie Black Hawk Down. You know what Black Hawk Down was? When Clinton sent somebody over to Mogadishu and they got shot down. And they pulled out.
Yeah, I know that.
That's Africa, right. You remember we was in school around that time tripping on, like, what we doing down in the first place. Yeah.
What country was that in?
Africa, Mogadishu, right outside Somalia, right now.
Right outside Somalia.
It's right now, same spot.
But who was running that, though? Wasn't the Russians running that?
No, I don't know. I don't know if Russians running that, but listen, I'm going to go here. It was the same pirates that Obama shot dead on to rescue those people, the same Somali pirates.
What I'm saying is, Jimmy, where do you think they're getting their weapons from?
Well, listen.
We're talking about Russia issue.
I agree. I totally agree with you on all fronts because as a president, you have to go over there and stop the spread of communism, and I do agree with that. The point I was saying, with Cleon, everything you're saying is correct. And the reason why we over there and why we should be over there and why we got to be over there, I'm just saying when a white man does it, it's crazy. When a black man does it, it's okay. It's like when a black man says that George Bush ain't my president, Al Gore's my president. George Bush ain't my president, it's okay. But when a white man say Barack Obama ain't my president, it's racist. I mean, what the hell? I'm just saying. Everything should be real when it comes straight down the line. I mean, like King said, continent of in character, man, not color of skin. You know what I'm saying? What's in a man's heart and how his character is. I mean, right now, black Americans suffering, and we got a black president, and black folks ain't. Black folks had the balls to tell Obama we're suffering out here. When we had George Bush, we held his feet to the fire. When we had Bill Clinton, we held his feet to the fire. We had all the presidents, we held their feet to the fire about black issues. Our black people right now take care of, no. I'll go here. Obama said to the Hispanics, I'm going to give you the Dream Act. Right now, ain't nothing Dream Act for the Dream Act. I'm just saying. A lot of promises.
No. You can't say nothing happening just because it's not getting the light. Because right now, unfortunately, we're talking about the.
He's talking about Boston Bombers, Cleon. Hey, Cleon.
So
the face of an immigrant, The face of an immigrant, before you say this, the face of an immigrant is not a Spanish person, for the record. You know that, right? Being from New York.
That.
So if you write an immigration bill, that means that's for all of them, not just the Spanish people, right?
Correct.
Now that these Boston Bombers, man, everything gonna be held up. Hold on now. We gotta know who we let in this country. Because if you became a citizen at 18 and you go wilding out at 21, what the hell we done did? We don't let you. I mean, you might not never love this country. You might have came over as a little baby saying, "I hate America." Couldn't wait to become a citizen and destroy America. What I'm saying is now we can't do no immigration clops. We can't. All we gotta do is tighten our borders up and stop giving out visas right now because people want to blow us up, clops. You know, you got people want to shoot out at Mother's Day parades down at Louisiana. You got people want to bomb us. At marathons, it's not safe to be around white folks right now. It's not safe, Leon.
Why you say that?
Right now, because a terrorist will never win taking out Freaknik. People will not go crazy and sigh and cry, but let them go take out Lollapalooza. I mean, what the hell? It'd be an internet. They'll do more damage. I mean, you know chair 101. Don't you can't kill a black guy. Taking a black guy hostage ain't worth shit. You know what I'm saying? We usually say that. That's why we never get taken. You know, they let us go. We ain't worth nothing. They know America ain't going to come rescue no black hostage. America ain't going to come. I mean, look at Shoshana Johnson. You know what I'm saying? We forgot about Shoshana Johnson. Everybody remember the other girl got rescued from the get rescued with their plane. Shoshana Johnson was in a shootout and got captured. But, you know, everybody forget about her. That's a little black girl in the bush. But I agree with you, Cleon, about the Bush war. I mean, you know,
you got to realize.
We should say that. We should win Afghanistan. We should win Afghanistan. And, you know, but hey.
You know what gets me about that, and people really not came and talk about it. After he said let's go to war, and he talked about it, he was like, let's not forget, people, this is the man that tried to kill my father. Come on, man, what?
That is true, though. That is true, and that is true. And Ben, here's the funny part. See, and being the next president up, you have to kill those two. That's why Muammar Gaddafi had to go. I mean, there's a lot of people have to go because Muammar Gaddafi put a hit on George Bush and Ronald Reagan. So, hey, you got to go. Anytime you put a hit on an American president, they take you out because you might still be doing that shit. I mean, like I said, Obama is dropping drones right and left on citizens in Africa. That it's a shame. And so that's what I'm saying right now. It's on how you look at it. I'm about to take another break, Cleon. I'll be right back in 1 minute. It's APR from Virginia, Ohio.
Hey, Jim, actually,
hold on,
I have to go.
Hold on. APR, everybody. Hey, thanks, Cleon.
Security police.
I'm in charge of that.
No longer, madam. He is now the custody of the Ministry of Science.
Take your stinking paws off me.
Let's go.
Yeah. Happy birthday to my greatest, my fan, my favorite singer, my man Stevie Moore, Stevie Wonder. Happy birthday today, Stevie from Jimmy Lee. I got my man Cleon. I got my man from Barber Zone, Chavez. Let me bring my man Vez. What up? You just appeared on me, Vez. What up? Where you go to? I thought you went to the Barber Zone again.
No, man, my phone had died on me, man. I thought I had it plugged up, but I didn't have it plugged up, so I had to get
Bastard. Let me bring my man Frank in, because Cleon started going political. You know, you leave me a clock on the phone for a minute ago, you want to go political, talk about health care, and why the chicken is in his pocket, and how come Obama health care ain't working. I'm with you, Cleon. But let me bring my man, New York's famous Carlos Boozer, Frank Roper in the building. What's going on, Ed Graves? What's happening?
Yeah, what's going on?
We talk about my man, Charles Ramsey, man. Chuck, what's up? Remember my man Chuck, what's up with that? Charles Ramsey that we're talking about, the hero from Cleveland. Frank?
I'm here.
Frank, I'm throwing a loop to you. I threw a question to you, you know what I'm saying? What I mean about the topic. You know, what's the man Charles Ramsey? What's your take on the CSU hero Charles Ramsey?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a great thing. He saw what was going on, and he stepped up. You know, not everyone would be willing to do that. You know, I would always try to think that I would be a person that would do that, but you never know when you're in that situation. What are you going to do? You see something going on. Do you turn the other way, or do you actually step in and do something? And he actually stepped up and did something. So, you know, I commend the brother for that, you know. And especially because the first thing was, you know, you see somebody when you're watching TV, like, oh, some one crazy person from Cleveland, then you figure out, yo, I actually know that crazy person from Cleveland. So it was really an eye-opening experience, and it actually felt good.
It did feel good. Well, we're telling everybody out here in the listening audience how you can't judge a book by its cover. You know, how people looked at him and thought they saw, like, some crazy individual, no educated black person. You know how they said every time there's a tragedy, the cameraman always looks at the ignorant person.
Yeah, actually, when a lot of people were saying, they said that, you know, they could see that he did have some education and some intelligence. It's just that he's a quirky dude. So, you know, a lot of times you hear us, hear black people on interviews and things of that nature, and we don't sound intelligent at all. Sometimes we don't even sound intelligible. You can't even understand what some of the people are saying. So for a brother to come up there and actually put a sentence together, it was funny. He had just, you know, comedy and charm about him that just was drawing people in. So it was actually good.
Yes, it was, but no, Frank. Excuse me, call button. No, Frank. Can you hear that? Yeah, no. Hold on a second, everybody.
Oh,
my bad.
What I'm about to say couldn't mean the
now,
world.
Okay, I'm back. Now, call button's off now. What I'm trying to say is that when you heard him speak about describing what transpired, on the incident, he did not condemn the dude, not getting all the evidence. He said, you know, nobody was there, unbeknownst to him, held against their will. You know,
right.
It wasn't like I was trying to tell on this individual, trying to get him in trouble because I thought the lady was dead. I'm trying to do a solid. I thought some domestic violence situation, you know, so
right.
I called in. And the way he described it, you can hear him go there. But, you know, I heard more of comedy more than hype. What I heard was a black man trying to get paid off a Sweet Brown moment than somebody that was not conscious or cognizant of the situation. You dig where I'm coming from? I thought he was trying to get, you know, hide your wife, hide your kids moment. One of those situations, you know? Because that's how you get paid now. You know, all you gotta do is get one, all you need is one
All you need is one auto-tune, man. That's all you need is one dude to auto-tune you.
And you got to pop your
They already done it. That's already out there. Y'all haven't heard it yet?
But here's my question, though. All right, we know the brother did a great thing, but why, when situations like that, why does a person's background have to come into what they did? No matter what he did in his past, at the time when someone needed him, he was there. So why do we always go back to, well, his past, he did this, he did that, he did the other. This right here may be his redeeming moment from all the things that he did prior.
But,
why are we so quick to go back and condemn a brother like that? Because, I mean, like, the pictures I put on Facebook, I have some good ones, but I also have some bad ones, some condemning ones, which I would never put out there, but for money.
You just spoke about it, put it out there.
Let's go ahead before you get paid off the national choir like that. But no, it's like this, because he said something that got everybody's attention was a white woman running to a black man's hands. You know, the combination of that was, you know, a scared man. Oh my God, a white woman running to my arms. Oh Lord, have mercy. You know, what am I going to do? You know, you had images of that in the white world. But then towards the end of the interview, he called her a hoe. So now,
I
mean, you know, well, okay, let me see if I can pull up again for you. He didn't call Amanda, no, he's right, he didn't call Amanda a hoe. But he was saying about white women in general, if they, matter of fact, let me go ahead and play it right now for you. This is the man speaking this stuff.
I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I meet my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts trying to get out of her house. So I go on the porch.
Okay.
I go on the porch, and she says, "Help me get out. I've been in here a long time." So, you know, I figured it's a domestic violence dispute. So I open the door, and we can't get in that way because how the door is, it's so much that a body can't fit through, only your hand. So we kick the bottom, and she comes out with a little girl, and she says, "Call 911. My name is Amanda Berry."
Now, did you know who that was when she said that?
When she told me, it didn't register until I got to call the 911, and I'm like, I'm calling the 911 for Amanda Berry? I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And she got on the phone, and she said, "Yes, this is me," and the detective, Cook, right here. Detective Gregory Cook says, "Charles, do you know who you rescued?" I said.
Now, and when did you see Gina?
About five.
We're good.
So about 5 minutes after the police got here, see, the girl Amanda told the police, "I ain't just the only one. It's some more girls up in that house." So they went up there, you know, 30, 40 deep, and when they came out, was just astonishing, because I thought they were going to come up with nothing. I figured, I mean, whoever she was, and like I say, my neighbor, you got some big testicles to pull this off, bro, because we see this dude every day. I mean, every day.
How long have you lived here?
I've been here a year.
Okay.
You sure come up, bro?
Right.
I barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot, and listen to salsa music. You sure come up, bro?
Yeah. And you had no indication that there was anything going on?
Bro, not a clue that girl was in that house, or anybody else was in there against their will, because how he is, he just comes out to his backyard, plays with the dogs, tinker with his cars and motorcycles, goes back in the house. So he's somebody that you look away, because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nothing exciting about him. Well, until the day.
what was the reaction on the girls' faces? I can't imagine to see the sunlight, to be
bro,
around people.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway.
Charles, thank you very much.
Dead giveaway.
Thank you very much for your time. And
either she homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she ran into a black man.
Charles, thank you for being there, man. Charles Ramsey, neighbor, heard the screaming, took action, went and did what he needed to do. The rest is unfolding before us here on CMR. I'm going to send it back to you.
Well, there you go, right there. You hear it? The homies are a hoe. Anyway, what I was trying to say.
I didn't hear him call her a hoe. He didn't say that. I listened the whole time. He never swore to a hoe. What are you talking about?
He said she must be homeless.
Right.
She
I
be homeless.
No, no, no. You caught it. No, I caught it. It cut off on me. I'm like, damn. Earlier, like that's why I heard the spot. I was about to make a correction also before I got corrected. It wasn't that. Part of the matter is, you know, because I looked at the fact that because our president's interracial, and by him making all those connotations and stuff like that, people try to make it fun because how he's saying only a crazy white woman would run into a black man's arm and stuff like that, giving out things of tensions, tense. And that's why they're trying to really rug the man down, or why the president wouldn't give him a phone call, you know, and stuff like that, because how he made fun of interracial relationships and stuff like that here in this new generation. And that's why some people are loving him and some people are hating him, you know. Like when I heard the interview, I just saw him cracking, you know. I knew just busting.
Exactly,
Chris,
yeah,
like,
because like I was saying before, he's just a colorful person. That's the best way to put it. He's very colorful.
Right.
He has a lot of flavor to him, so... You know, and he's a wisecracker, and you know, not everyone's going to take kindly to the statements that you make when you're making jokes.
Hey, Jimmy, but you just said something. Now, it's funny how if you're an athlete and you come and say that you're living a homosexual life, you get a call from the president and leaders of government and all that stuff, but. If you save individuals' lives who have been missing for 10 years and assumed dead, you get a call from nobody. I mean, you get a call from Anderson Cooper because he won an interview. But as far as the congratulations, he didn't get that call.
But he may wind up going to the White House. It's still very new. It's only been a week. So everyone is jumping on, well, you should have done it right away. And in the grand scheme of things, it's not, I mean, it's serious for, you know, someone to do something like that. But we also talk about a person who, when I'm talking about a person saying the president, that's supposed to be keeping us out of wars, that's supposed to be keeping us out of financial crisis. So with all these things being said.
He said he was gay. A guy came out and said that I'm gay, and he called, and the president called him and congratulated him.
Right. And then also with that being said, and I'm just playing devil's advocate at this point.
Yeah.
Yes, he's done that, and you have a choice, I mean, a possibility of being ostracized by your teammates, not getting a job for saying that you're gay, or being beat up or possibly even killed. People have said that just because they were gay. Now,
oh,
this man did a great thing by...
The Beer Summit, racial profiling. I'm just saying,
yes,
these
are
things you can see. I mean, but you know, you save a girl's missing for 10 years, and, I mean, 10 years, everyone's giving up hope except the family. And you rescue a girl by getting out of harm's way.
And it was still amazing to me that there were actually three. He kidnapped three of them, like, within a five-block radius.
Exactly.
And had them captive for 3 years. I mean, for 10 years.
10 years, man.
That's amazing.
10 years on the same. But he was still on the, he's still basically on the same block that he killed him, just further down the block. He's still out of the same neighborhood where he captured him at. That's amazing.
Yeah.
They look out the windows of that second floor house like I'm down the street. Will somebody come down here and get me?
Yeah, right there.
Mama, daddy, uncle, I see y'all driving out this block every goddamn day. Somebody?
They can't get them. But here's
right,
the crazy thing. How do you conceal 3-4 human lives in your house and your sibling? Nor do your children know anything about that. For 10
right.
years, you're doing that for 2 years, and nobody in your family knows that. That's amazing how he did that. That is just totally astonishing on how he was able to conceal four people.
You're right.
For 10 years.
And now, again, back to you, Cleon, I'm still out there listening. And going back to my immigration issue again, a lot of things on immigration stuff is coming up. A lot of things, the next bad villain out there, the media is going to be Hispanic now. Latino race now is going to be. It's going to be.
I'm sorry, but
right
this
now.
Whole this country and immigration is the biggest problem on the planet. Because the people that are screaming about immigration, everybody that came here is an immigrant.
Everybody.
You know, unless you are the Native American, it's all a crock. So if if the Native Americans were in power, they were like, well, all y'all need to go. And so when you have Caucasians or black people or anyone saying, oh, well, they need to leave this country, like, what are you talking about? Oh, none of us were here when this country was just here.
Besides you that's forced over here, besides you didn't come over here just for a better life, besides you that's forced over here, the point I'm saying is this. The face of immigration everyone's looking at is that of the Latino race. They're not looking at that of the Croatian or the Asian or the...
But I know, but if you're taking that, they're talking about immigration. They're just coming up the road. They're just coming up the road. It's not like they're coming overseas like many Caucasians did. You're just coming up from South America.
But if you really want to keep it correct, if they want to start talking about the immigration and everything, if you look at the way the country was from the beginning, if you want to look how big Mexico was before the United States took that over, California, Nevada, all of that, there was Mexico.
Let's go to the state one time. Let's get educated. The Spanish-American War was all that was the reason why we still this high tension. I mean, because of the war. I mean, we won that in war. And the whole deal is if we give that back, then we lost the war. Now I'm going off of being an American. Not going on no white or black, whatever side you want to take. It's like all of a sudden, if all of a sudden Palestine went there and raided Israel, like, man, get up out of here. Yeah, we lost the war, but I don't care. And then everybody, hey. The Spanish-American War, we lost Alamo in the Spanish-American War. We ended up gaining California. I mean, all of that, it's all that. So people down there take that much more serious. I mean, it's 1800s. It is a long time ago, but I ain't talking like 1700s. People can go trace their grandparents back to that point. So, you know, to them, that's the issue. But I'm not saying, yeah, it's just across the street. Yeah, it's that you come through Canada. I mean, yeah, you walk down the street to Canada, you come up on Mexico, but right now, if you're an American, that ain't me screaming all apple pie mama. If you're an American right now, and if you're a Caucasian, yeah, you have every right to be feared because it's not safe in the gathering right now because of our immigration policy. And I'm not talking about all the people who bring the dopes in here in America. Everybody know all the Latinos. I ain't talking about the dope bringers. I'm talking about the bomb bringers. You can't look at the Arabs no more because you're watching the turbans right now. But we look at the Caucasian Mountains, the Croatians, the old Czech Republicans, the Bosnians, the Serbians. We're talking about these people who are in our country right now that looks like one of them. Now, how can you eradicate them? The only way you know who they are is through immigration. They're not going to say, we're coming after you, Caucasian, for our immigration. We're going to make the picture of immigration Latinos, because if I grab the immigration bill, the Dream Act is just not for Latinos. It's for Koreans. It's for Asians. It's everybody. What I'm saying is this. Now, me as an African, we ain't got a reparation at all. Now, I just got bumped so far down the line with them trying to give my kids all this equality that I was promised. Now, I got a Dream Act that's promised all immigrations, all nationalities. Yeah, that might be good. But for a race of people that have not came up, yeah, that's not great for me. But the point I'm saying is, far as immigration is, that somebody from Mogadishu, like I said, Mogadishu, who's mad because Obama done drone their crib, can come all around from Mexico and walk right up and do his damage. I mean, Cubans can come on a boat right here, wet foot dry land is up in here. We got guns pointed at any Haitians that try to get off the land to come over here for safety issues. I mean, are we going to grab the immigration policy going to say the Haitians in? I mean, they told me that then the color ratio that went too crazy in America. I mean, because our immigration disparity is whack regardless of the fact. I ain't talking about just Mexicans coming over here or letting the Americans come over here, but Haitians can't come over here. I mean, right now, you got the country right now, rubble, hurricanes, and tornadoes, but they can't even leave the island and come over America for sanctuary. I mean,
right.
no one will grab that in the immigration policy because they said it's too many dark-skinned, black-skinned Americans. We don't need too many. But we're going to let the brown-skinned, Latin-speaking Americans up here because they can blend in and almost look like one of us. And the problem is it's too many of them looking like one of them causing havoc. So you got to shut it down. I mean, you just can't say, well, we're going to let them in and them in or them and them not in right now in this terrorized country you're living in where everybody, I mean, you're from New York, Frank. I mean, you're from New York. Mm-hmm. You know how people feel about 9/11. I mean, every day,
but one thing that's different about New York is that we have so many different types of people here. That's the difference. We have so many different types. I can walk out right now and see all types of people. In other parts of this country, you walk outside your door and you only see white people, you only see black people, or you only see Latino people. You see that. You walk out in New York, I will see all types of people. And that's why I feel that New York is different than a lot of other places in the country because you have exposure to all types of culture. All types of culture.
Chicago, Frank. I'm going to take you a trip straight down to Vaughan on the north side. I can take you to like 25 countries off of 8 mile block. What makes Chicago is uniquely different than any city in America, which I like to say, is we are ethnically divided. Blacks, whites, Croatians. I mean, almost like New York. Polish. I mean, matter of fact, our baseball teams are divided by ethnicity. The Irish at Wrigley Field, the Polish at Comiskey Park. I mean, we can go down, break it down. Like
I know, but what I'm saying is different. Like, we're all here. We're not, I mean, there are definitely neighborhoods where you're segregated, but at some point, you're all going to be together. That's the thing. Yeah, you may have areas, but there's going to be times where you're going to be all around each other. Yeah,
that's why it's dangerous, Frank.
Pockets. You said what?
That's why it's dangerous. And that's why it's dangerous.
It's dangerous. One reason it's dangerous because of, and I always say this, is because of the media hype. I was actually, you know, and then we go, since I am from New York, and I was listening to a conspiracy theorist, I was saying that 9/11 didn't really happen. Like, there were no planes. Like, nobody really died. All of it was fake. I'm like, you got to be freaking kidding me. I looked out my window, and I saw a plane hit the building. I'm looking at my window, and you're going to tell me that it didn't happen. I'm like, you're a freaking nut. Now, of course, there are some things that I don't agree with it. Like, everyone has their questions about it because there's some things that just don't wash. But that's neither here.
But listen, now you're looking, people are looking at the Oklahoma City bombing. People are looking at the Colorado shooter. You're looking at now the face of terrorism, and I did an episode of that. It's now that of the white man.
But since
9/11 changed everything, the next thing is how do you profile the white man? Because right now, that is what is doing all the drama and terror. Because these guys was Caucasians. They was caucus, like Caucasians. You know what I'm saying? And you can't get whiter than somebody from the Caucasus Mountains. So now you got the Caucasians coming in doing damage. Let me know what you think about this. This is a white guy's life. You probably heard it before. People listen to this right here, Frank.
Another issue I want to address is, are Caucasians now going to be profiled? I mean, it's fascinating. Now that we have white perpetrators in the Boston Marathon bombing, their whiteness has become completely irrelevant. White is never used in describing the suspects. It was not addressed in any of the press conferences I saw that we have we have a manhunt for a white individual. I didn't hear it. I think maybe there was one instance where one official mentioned it, right? I mean, white American Muslim bombers. Nobody ever thought about this possibility. Natan, nobody even considered this could be a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any mystery as to what's going on. I mean, it's the people of color are considered an other. They're labeled as such. That's how people talk about them. The sort of default standard, whether it's explicit or implicit, is that you're white and probably that you're Christian. So this is like the standard. We all know this. That's why it's reported as such.
Sikh American activist and filmmaker Valerie Kaur pointed out another example of the double standard, which actually David Sirota described quite a bit. He said, let's remember that the Oak Creek mass shooting was actually the last incident of domestic terrorism in this country. It was committed by a white supremacist who walked into a Sikh house of worship. We did not hear calls for white people to be profiled. We did not hear Christianity denigrated or Christians living in fear. The way that our country diagnoses a problem when it's a white perpetrator is that it's an individual problem. I think this is an interesting thing. I mean, there are so many other pressing issues with this case, and they're being discussed, but I think it's interesting to talk about. We have two white perpetrators here, and all of a sudden their whiteness is just not a factor.
Well, it's easy to profile a minority, right? Because there's fewer of them.
Sure.
They're the ones who stick out in a crowd. So how do you profile white people? I mean, it seems like such a huge undertaking that it wouldn't even be worth the effort on any front. Of course, I'm not saying that profiling people of other races is worth the effort, obviously.
No, but just in the context of how this has been carried out.
Right.
The other thing that's interesting is that we're also talking about them in the context of immigrants, right? And I find it interesting because one an American citizen, one close to being an American citizen, how far after you've come into this country is the fact that you came from another country a factor? I mean, let's think about me, right? I came to this country when I was 5. I became a citizen when I was 17. If I now committed an act of terror, what would be pointed at, right? What would be pointed at? Would it be, listen, this is a guy who came into this country. Clearly, our immigration system did not work well because we didn't identify him. We didn't stop him. This guy was running around our country, and then he committed this act of terror. That's another framing, I think, that is interesting, which is these guys aren't from the U.S. And how far does that work? I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Well, we know how the corporate media works,
right? We do.
They would say, yes, this is clearly something that needs to be looked at. They'd say, well, let's look at the parents. Let's look at the grandparents.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Frank, you know, 8 minutes I got left. What do you think about that?
Oh, no. But like I said, it's always the media. The media, and one thing I will say, like in New York, they never tell you what the person is. They don't ever tell you what the race of the perpetrator was, no matter what it is. And I'm like, well, how do you expect anybody to try and find this guy, that whoever's done a crime, if no one knows what he is? They say he was wearing blue jeans and a red T-shirt and black shoes, and he was 5'9", 180 pounds. That's all they're going to say. I'm like, well, what was his skin tone if you're trying to find somebody? But with the media here in New York, but like that was a funny thing when we were watching international news, that they were talking about, well, you know, CNN got in trouble because they said, oh, it was a dark-skinned person. In New York, they don't say that anymore. They don't say that anymore because they're trying to be politically correct, which is crap to me, because if you're trying to find somebody, you just need to say what you need to say to find out who it is, even though sometimes that information, like with the CNN, was incorrect. But well, like, it's, you know, a lot of it is the media. It's the hype, you know, say, oh, well, how are we going to say it's you know, a white person that's perpetrating a white-skinned person or a lighter-skinned person is a perpetrator? And it's all about who's in control. You don't want, because I tell you like this, every time that I see a black person that has done something, I cringe. And I know that must be the same thing when white people see a perpetrator of a crime, and they must cringe. So you don't want it to be that. So if you're the people that are in power, you're going to try and lessen that cringing as much as you can.
Right. I agree with you on that, Frank. But the point I was trying to come at is this. I hate when I see somebody black do something, because that, like everybody said, messes up for the whole race and stuff like that. But given what the information my man was breaking down was saying, as I said about the immigration bill, how can you now
profile white
judge
people?
White folks? The only way you can profile them personally is by keeping out your country. You know, and then you got to start checking the immigration, their visas. Now, if you do that for them, then you're going to have to do that for the Latinos. The point I'm saying.
Oh, they're going to do it for everyone.
Right. So the Boston Massacre bombing has did more to set the immigration and the Dream Act more than any congressman or any redneck racist could have ever done. Because now.
I know, but here. There are some people that are going to say that is a ploy so the Dream Act wouldn't happen. Conspiracy theorists will say that.
Listen, you can probably say that is true. You can say you can give up your freedom. You can say for the cameras. You can say that's government finding a way to get into your spot because, you know, it's a Republican, man. Government stay out of my business. I'm not a government fan. And the day the black man went to the government, I don't know. See, Frank, it's like this. When I came up, everybody was saying, man, the government spied on Martin Luther King, the government killing black, COINTELPRO, black death, the government out to get black folks, leave the government alone. Now I'm growing up as a man, I'm hearing all my faith who said that, said, man, I'm gay, government, government, government. Now all my black folks get conspiracy theories saying, like, man, government is taking over me, man. You know what I'm saying? Cameras there everywhere, man. But conspiracy theorists can say that could be the reason why the immigration deal would get stalled or what have you. But if you want this country to be your country for your great-grandkids, to be the country that you saw that your parents had in their black and white days but they became colorized and everything was pure and there was men and women and father and mother and dogs and cats, picket fences and shit like that. If you want that America back with everybody just their content, skin, and character, then we're going to shut this motherfucker down. And get everything straight because we let too many outside influences influence our country. Whether you're in the Caucasus Mountains or whether you're down with Castro bringing in 5 keys of brick to kill my people in my neighborhood right now. I mean, we can just say what have you. Or you coming in and taking a dishwashing job that my man can't get out the joint because there ain't no job to hire no more. Or I can get your ass catch up. I ain't gonna go fighting on how you go on economics right now, but I know as a people right now, if we don't surround ourselves economics and close ourselves in economics, then we can give it up and go up all with smoke just like America is going to go up with smoke, but it's all about economics. But listen to Frank Roper. For the last 4 minutes I got, before I tell everybody good night, may your God be with you. Why don't you tell everybody about your business endeavor is where they can find Frank Bad.
I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
Where can they find, oh my God, Frank, let me turn this down for a second. It's Stevie Wonder's birthday. I was trying to rock with Stevie Wonder because it's Stevie Wonder's birthday. Now,
right.
Frank, I'm aware that you are having a little small business, am I correct?
I have a what?
Small business.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right now, this is a small business plug right now in the 3 minutes I have. Tell everybody about your small business and where they can find you, Mr. Frank Roper, please.
All right. Well, actually, I'm an entrepreneur in New York City, and actually I do many things, but one of the things that I do is real estate in New York City, so people can reach me at frankr@ccrny.com, and that's for all real estate needs. That's just one of my businesses, and you can also reach me there for, actually, I do music management, so you can reach me there also with music management as far as representing artists and producers.
Well, hold on right now, Frank. See, now I'm glad you said that. Because that leads into my new Music Thursday. Because we do have new Music Thursday, and you can send that music to Jimmy Lee Underground at Gmail. And we have artists all up and down the spot. Now, I had Blue on here, a.k.a. Mike Williams, you know, for a second. Now, why don't you come on, just check out the little stuff I have and check out my top 10. And maybe some of my guests might want to seek some representation with you, Frank Roper, on the real. And now we got a new day, everybody. We got the best of New Music Thursday. We playing all the greatest hits. So all you old school listeners that's been on there 2 years, you get to hear stuff played back there again. And coming Sunday, we got Blues with the legendary Dr. Jimmy Lee Tillman, that is. Blues Doctor. So tune in Sunday for those things. And again, it's my man Frank Roper. And give me the number again where they can reach you out again, Frank.
Yeah, they can reach me at frankr@ccrny.com. That's
okay,
my email address.
Okay, listen, Evan, take Frank's numbers down. Right, you got his number down?
I'll get
all right, Frank, we'll get your number down. We'll try to play your new music Thursday so our artists can hear how they can be represented by you. And, man,
okay.
I like your political views, Frank. Man, don't be scared to holler at me, man. Straight up, man. I know you're from New York, man. Don't be scared of Chicago people, man. Real talk.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's one of my favorite cities is Chicago.
Right, right. And we bringing Blue down here. We're going to bring Blue down here for Guns of Greatness sometime in June. Maybe Nick can do it like that sometime and make it happen from on that point right there. This is Jimmy Underground Radio. I have my man Frank Roper, Chavez Moment, and that's the Barber Zone Mondays, 10 Eastern, 9 Central. Mondays, after you leave my show, check him out. And Cleon Joyner. And we holler at my man Chuck Ramsey. We got Talk Me Tuesday. Let's go, Bulls. Let's get this game six. Can we get a game six in Chicago? All right, Frank, man. Thank you, Ben. Hold on. Barber Zone came in last minute. Yo, Vance, I get it. Okay, Vance, 60 seconds, Vance. Give it to me.
Hey, man, Barber Zone Radio, man. Back on the air 2 weeks, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central. Check us out, man. Come get your hair right on the Barber Zone. Hey, and remember, you never know. You might be the next hero. So, you know, just do things right, man. Treat people right. And then when it's your turn, they'll treat you right.
All right. I'll see y'all. Same man. Thanks for tuning in. Give me the Underground Radio. Like I said every night. Good night. May your God be with y'all, everybody.